When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Making Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome into this week's edition of the Jungle Juice podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, it's a little busy right now. Everything's coming in. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. I haven't paid too much attention today, but I'm just kind of looking at the news feed right now, and there's a bunch of crazy stuff that's going on right now. So,
yeah,
just we're that wind of DK Metcalf getting traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both of our immediate thoughts were that is the perfect type of receiver to go and play for Pittsburgh.
They just love receivers that have just a smidge of, what's the word I want? Drama with them? I mean,
yeah.
Brown, Pickens, Metcalf. It just keeps
on going. Now, Metcalf is probably like the most like
sane of those three.
Professional or sane out of all those guys. But yeah,
that's a pretty low bar though, for being honest.
Yeah. Well, at least I guess George Pickens got what he wanted over there. He got some help. Even though, you know, the week 18 game, he didn't really help himself at all that game. So no. I don't know.
No, he did it. Josh Allen just signed a huge extension too. He's now at the $55 million range too. So there's a lot of news going on. There's just a lot of money being thrown around. But so we're not going to waste any time because we're going to mention some of the NFL stuff as it comes through. If anything breaks live, we're gonna have it. But in the case that, for the most part, we're going to be focusing on the Bengals today because there's a ton of Bengals news to get to. So on the show, we're going to update the guys who have left, the guys who are coming back, the guy who might be leaving in Trey Hendrickson. We'll discuss that trade. Is it going to happen? Is it not? We'll go into that. And then we're going to go all the way into the defense as far as some free agents the Bengals could potentially add tomorrow, which is kind of crazy that it's tomorrow when free agency, you know, the tampering window opens up. That, I mean, theoretically by this time tomorrow, the Bengals could have a new guard and a defensive lineman. Like, technically that's possible, or they can do nothing. Who really knows? It'll be interesting though to follow that along, but we invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We're Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, favorite podcasting platform as well. Give us a 5-star rating that way, so more people can find our show. Okay. Let's just go through some of the news really from the week Bengals related. And it got started on Monday, where I think really the news that didn't surprise anybody, Alex Kappa was cut, saves $8 million against the cap, 2.25 in dead money. And then he follows up and gets actually a pretty decent contract with the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think it was a move though that it just kind of had to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. If the cap hit wasn't like as big, or if the cap savings weren't as like big as they were with Alex Kappa's contract, where we saved $8 million, and see if it was only like $3-4 million I would maybe like understand keeping him at least one more season, because we have seen like decent play out about Alex Kappa during his time here in Cincinnati. Now last year was kind of an exception, right? It was a pretty bad season. Pretty bad season. But with an $8 million cap hit, like I think you have to do that in that situation.
Yes. He goes and he signs the Raiders. Good luck to Alex Kappa. That was a good signing. You know, I think he was good.
Yeah.
Good signing. Good signing for the Bengals when they made that. Then the next news came through that it officially came out that the Bengals franchise tag T. Higgins. $26.2 million for the upcoming season. I know you don't agree with it. We've been over that a lot over these last couple of weeks, but whether you agree with it or not at this point,
they did it.
It doesn't matter. It's been done. I think the one of two franchise tags used. There was one more, and was it
Trey Smith?
Yes, thank you. I knew that there was one more that was used. So now this opens up the potential extension for T. Higgins. We've talked about that a lot. We've got a ton to get to today, so I don't think we should dwell too much on it. But that price just keeps on going up and up and up and up, because you know, you just saw DK Metcalf, as we mentioned when we came in, he's signing for $30 million a year. But my philosophy with it is, a lot of people are taking shots at the Bengals front office for not getting this deal done. But honestly, if I'm T. Higgins, I want to hold this out as long as possible, because that price tag keeps going up and up and up and up. So I think by me waiting, I'm going to end up making more money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely could be the case. Now, if that were the case, though, I mean, why would he be switching agents from a guy that, you know, in David Mulligetta that constantly pushes for top dollar for his players, and then, you know, trying to get Jamar's, you know, and hiring Jamar's agent. I guess that, I don't know how consistent that would be with his thought process there, but I mean, hell, it's, if DK is worth 30, you got to think T is probably worth 31, 32 million, just because he's younger, plays the position in a similar way. Doesn't come with, I don't want to say DK comes with like baggage, but definitely not as like, you know, dramatic or as much of a diva as DK has been at various points in his career. But yeah, it's a tough deal for the Bengals, and you know, now we got to be talking about, you know, what his future is with the Bengals. Are they going to extend him? Are they going to tag and trade him? Or is it going to be option number three, which I think is the worst one, is that you hold him here hostage under this tag, don't extend him, and you just have a guy on a tag 2 years in a row.
I can't imagine that scenario happens.
I really hope it doesn't, because I think that sends a message to other free agents in the future and their agents, pretty much, you know, that they will do this to you.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. It might, but I mean, this deal is going to get done, and I really think that, I mean, here's the thing though. The deal, if it's going to get done, it will be done by April the 26th, 7th, 8th, whatever the draft is. Because you would think that the Bengals, if they're not going to get it, they're going to want to flip him for a draft pick, mm-hmm. whether it's a second round, a third round, whatever it might be, because then you're looking to draft his replacement in that second, third, fourth round pick or whatever it might be with it, or maybe even in the first round. Like I depending on how the draft shakes out, because, I mean, in all seriousness, if T. Higgins leaves, that opens up the window for wide receiver to at least be an option in the first round. Not a high percentage as far as likelihood, but it's at least an option, because that creates a massive hole on that team, especially if they do that trade late when they can't fill it in free agency. But even as we talked last week, it's not like there's anybody in free agency that makes you go, yeah, like, woo, that makes me excited about a potential to fill in for T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Okay, let's the news that I think kind of was bittersweet. Sam Hubbard announced his retirement this week. I guess that was Wednesday. You know, the Cincinnati kid. I'm glad he went out this way.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked, honestly. I mean, it's, He's been around for a little bit. It's not like he's been around for that long. He played in the NFL for 7 seasons, seen a lot of good memories from him. The best play in Paul Brown Paycor Stadium history was made by Sam Hubbard. I thought going into this season that he was definitely going to get cut, right? And I thought maybe, they would bring him back on a much cheaper deal and he would, spend the next, couple of seasons here in Cincinnati and maybe get back to what he was like, to the level he was playing at in 2021, 2022 or whatnot. It's good for him. Happy retirement. I think me and Bischoff are going to be competing in his little foaling tournament in a couple months here. So hopefully we get to meet him. It's a great career, great moments.
Need to set it up to get him on the pod then.
Maybe.
If you meet him and maybe if you play against him, that's when you got to stand next to him and get it up. Because I'd love to interview him. I'd love to. It kind of hit me too. Sam Hubbard is about our age. I think he's a year older than us. And it just hit a little different that it was like somebody around our age retired. And it was like, oh, we're getting old. We're getting old. Re-signings came through. I know you, I think you threw a little bit of a party when Jackson Kirkland got re-signed earlier this week. Do you have your favorite Jackson Kirkland Bengals memory?
No.
Do you even know where Jackson Kirkland went to college?
He got to Washington.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay. There. I think you're right. That was the one that was in my mind, at least. Tanner Hudson's back as well. But I'm assuming both of those deals they're one-year extensions or re-signings, but they're probably money that they can easily be cut come August, the whatever it is that the cut deadline comes. So there's really no worry about that. Mike Gesicki, though, he gets paid. The Bengals sign him for 3 years for $25 million. Now, it's interesting how that contract is being shaped out as far as divvied up, as far as cap hits is a little interesting as it'll go around. But I think that's a good re-signing for the Bengals. As if anything else, it's an insurance policy in case something happens with T. Higgins, as far as you're trading him, a holdout or something.
Yeah. It could be very well be an insurance policy, but I mean, also Mike Gesicki pretty much took over this Tyler Boyd role last year, pretty much being the de facto slot receiver, the security blanket, a guy that Joe actually, built really good rapport with, and showed a lot of trust in him, definitely down the stretch, especially in games where T. Higgins was hurt. I love the signing. I think we saw, if we're looking at grading his second best graded season of his career. I'm just glad to see him back here. And I bet Joe's really happy about that as well.
Yeah, I think a security blanket is a good way to describe him. And then Cody Ford earlier, about 2 hours ago, he's also coming back on a 2-year deal. I think that's a really good re-signing too. I don't think I want Cody Ford to be a starter next year on the offensive line. But in that sixth offensive line role, I think that's pretty solid for him to where if you need him to start, he can fill in. But he's also so versatile that it is really helpful to have a guy like that.
Yeah, totally agree. The versatility is the reason why you want him back. Other than center, he can play anywhere on that line. 4 out of 5 spots in that line. Somebody goes down, he's usually the first one that they bring up to play in one of those spots. That just adds a lot more value to what he can do. The grading hasn't been great for him in his career, but that's not what.
But it's not been awful.
It's not been awful, and also you don't really expect the backups grading to be that great in the first place. So, but happy to see him back as well.
Because if he was grading better, he wouldn't be a 6 offensive line swing tackle. That's bouncing around the NFL. He would be a starter somewhere.
Yeah.
The big news, though, I think of the week in Bengals land was the Trey Hendrickson. The next step or the next episode in the Trey Hendrickson saga, I guess is what we can call it. And it was that the Bengals have given Trey Hendrickson permission to seek a trade. Now, I think there's a couple of aspects to kind of break in with this. The first one is that earlier today, I think it was today. Was it today or yesterday, Myles Garrett?
Today.
today, Myles Garrett gets a deal that is $40 million plus per year. Now, I think if we are being honest, Myles Garrett is younger than Trey. He is younger, right? But not much.
He's like 1 year younger.
1 year younger than. But he's better than Trey Hendrickson because he offers a little bit more.
He's particularly better. Like, he's a more complete edge rusher, right? He's particularly better in run defense. He is not a liability. He's actually quite an asset in run defense. I can't necessarily say the same for Trey. You see better pass rush numbers out of Myles Garrett, albeit I think those with Trey are a little more comparable to each other. But I don't know if this really affects the Jamar extension. Now, I know it's an entirely different position, but, you know, Duke Tobin's talking about, hey, I want Jamar to be the highest paid non-quarterback in football. So we went from $40 million to probably at least $41 million with Jamar here. But, Jimmy Haslam just loves inflating contracts.
Loves guaranteed money. He's the opposite of the Bengals. He is the opposite of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know
he's not subject to the same financial constraints that the Bengals are.
This is true. I know Tommy and I disagree on the Trey Hendrickson situation. To me, I don't think the Bengals have handled this poorly at all when it comes to Trey Hendrickson. We can talk different about Jamar Chase and Trey and T. Higgins. But as far as Trey Hendrickson, a lot of the fault to me goes on him in the realm of he signed that extension. The Bengals, he had 2 years left. That was a mistake by Trey Hendrickson to sign that extension. I'm sure it's one that he regrets. The Bengals got the better end of the stick on that.
Yes, but they did.
Now they have to make this decision of a guy who is over 30 on what to do. Personally, and I know I've said this before, I love Trey Hendrickson. He's been fantastic. He's probably the best free agent signing in Cincinnati Bengals history. And I don't really know who would be second. Trey Waynes, maybe?
Yeah, it would be Mike Hilton.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Trey Hendrickson is DJ Reader would probably be second.
I forgot about DJ Reader.
Lavernius Coles.
Ouch. T.O. Actually, I mean, the T.O. signing, even or though Antonio the team was Bryant? Garbage, I forgot he was on the team.
Well, he was on the team for one practice, I think is what it was. But still, now they have to make this decision. I think it would be a mistake to pay him over $30 million a year.
Yeah,
I think it would be a mistake to give him an extension anyways. And part of that is he's over 30. Father time comes for us all. Now, it to me is a risk for the Bengals who should be putting their money in younger guys of this. And I mean, yeah, the Mason Crosby deal is another one that we didn't even mention with this. It's just continuing to raise his price up. So that opens up the question of is do they trade him? And he has now been given permission to seek a trade. So Paul Daner Jr. from The Athletic, he did an interesting article that I want to talk about here where he asked all of the beat writers in The Athletic that would be interested as their team in trading for Trey Hendrickson to send him an offer. Okay. I'm going to give you these offers, Mick, and I want you to say yes or no on these. Okay. If you would be the Bengals, the Chicago Bears offer the number 41 pick.
Yes. 100%.
Would you want any more?
Yeah, honestly, no? I mean, a 41 would be good.
The Green Bay Packers offered a third round pick and Lucas Van Ness. You might have to do your PFF because, I mean, Lucas Van Ness, former first round pick, not that long ago, right? What, 3 years ago, maybe?
Yeah. I'm turning that. Yeah, but you still get two years of team control in a guy. He was a former first round pick, and you get a third round pick. But
the question is do you want two former first round picks who haven't lived up to expectations as your edge rushers next year?
Probably not. I'm gonna say no on that trade.
Here's an interesting one. The Commanders. Now there is a caveat on this because this was written before something happened for the Commanders, but there are ways you can work around this. They offer the 29th pick, a 2026 second rounder, and Jonathan Allen for Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals' 49th pick. So I'll read that again. They offer their first round pick, a future second, Jonathan Allen for Trey and the Bengals' second.
Yeah, take that. Even though Jonathan Allen's not has been released, right?
He has been, but I'm not sure if that's one of those things. Like, you remember the Bengals released Joe Mixon. I don't know if they can still do a trade with that, but still, that was an interesting one.
Oh, I'd sign up for that trade 100%.
The Falcons. Future. So this is 2026, second and a fifth. None this year.
No.
I agree. I have to say no to that. Now, if it was 2026, 2025 second and a 2026 fifth, then we can talk. We can take that. And then here's maybe the most intriguing one from the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Colts, obviously there's a major connection there. Lou Anarumo. Trey Hendrickson had a good relationship with Lou Anarumo. The Colts offered a second this year and a third next year.
Yeah, I'd take that.
I would too. But again, I like this exercise because to me, what it is showing is that the Bengals can get a second round pick for Trey Hendrickson. Yeah. My assumption is that the Bengals are going to want a second round pick and a day three pick. And honestly, I don't think they're crazy to ask for that for the nearly defensive player of the year who has like 74 sacks in the last 2 years. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration on the sacks, but still 34 sacks in 2 years or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's too much to ask for. 38 sacks in the past 2 years, by the way.
Yeah, great numbers. Great numbers from him.
Past 4 years, 67 sacks.
And that's the part that's that I crazy. Know is hard to swallow for Bengals fans, because you're saying, okay, what were we really bad at last year on defense? Well, the answer is yes, probably.
The biggest problem was the pass rush, right?
Pass rush and run. Yeah, pass rush was probably number one on that list. And you're telling fans, okay, our solution to fix the pass rush is to get rid of the only guy who pass rushed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow for Bengals fans. that's the case here. But at some point, you got to build the roster for the future. Trey Hendrickson is not the future of this team. We've had some really good elite seasons out of him, but he's crossed over the bridge of 30 years old. And you got to start looking at getting younger. You know, you sign a guy to, you sign Trey to $35 million a year or whatnot. And who's to say he doesn't end up like a Carlos Dunlap, second extension, or a Geno Atkins second extension? I mean, those might have been the most regrettable extensions the Bengals have signed in the history of the franchise. So, it sucks, but sometimes you gotta tear it down and rebuild. That defense needs to get rebuilt. I bet Al Golden probably wants to say in what his defense looks like in the future. So it sucks, but you gotta get some youth in this defense.
Is Trey Hendrickson on the Bengals this time next week?
No. Well, this time next week. Yeah, I'm gonna say no.
I don't know.
He's not on the team this season. I mean, I don't give a shit.
If it's next week or not.
It's just,
what are you saying? Let's say percentage chance that Trey Hendrickson is on the Bengals next season.
10.
It's probably pretty right. Percentage chance of an extension, though, I think is lower than that.
1. Yeah, that's.
But I think it'd be another thing like T. Higgins. If he's going to get traded, he is going to be traded before the draft, but I think that Trey has to be traded quick, because you're gonna need to fill that void with some guys that we're about to talk about as far as defensive free agents.
Yeah,
because
and you're gonna have to go after defensive free agents regardless at edge rusher, because
you're
right
gonna have to be a lot more aggressive if you lose Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, but right now, if Trey's gone and he's more than likely gonna get traded, the Bengals have one edge rusher on the roster on the roster right now. In Miles Murphy,
Cedric Johnson. Don't forget about Cedric.
Okay, we have two edge rushers on the roster with Cedric Johnson and Miles Murphy. You're going to have to at least get. I would say two edge rushers in free agency, right?
And draft.
And probably maybe draft two. You're probably going to have to double dip in the draft and free agency at edge rusher if they decide to move on from Trey Hendrickson, or really when they decide to move on from Trey Hendrickson. So, and we're about to get into this discussion here as to potential solutions for that. But yeah, I think this trade probably happens sooner than the T deal would happen for sure.
Let's just go ahead. Let's jump into talking about some defensive free agents. Before we do that, I do really quick. I meant to ask this when we talked about it, and I should have written it down on my notes. Is Sam Hubbard a Ring of Honor guy?
No.
He's probably really, really close.
I don't even really think close. It's close.
But Ring of Honor, we've seen a lot.
We've seen more elite players that are more deserving towards this Ring of Honor than Sam Hubbard. I get he's a Cincinnati kid or whatever, but
I'm more asking, not necessarily does he deserve it, does he get in? Because you Bengals fans love nostalgia. They love nostalgia. They love Cincinnati connections. They love big plays. And Sam Hubbard, check, check, check. And a play we didn't mention was in the AFC Championship game, back-to-back plays. He made great plays on Mahomes.
Cool. I don't know what else to say. He doesn't deserve it compared to some of these other players that are on the team. Yeah, I wouldn't vote for Sam Hubbard.
Okay. Interesting.
Not to throw shade at the guy, but there's a lot more deserving players.
I'm not disagreeing. It'll just be an interesting discussion when that time comes. Okay, let's go to the defense. Free agents. Free agency begins literally in almost 12 hours, which is crazy. Crazy.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often.
Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
that we are already at that point. Legal tampering opens tomorrow. Remember the Bengals a couple of years ago, literally waited no time. Ted Karras and Alex Kappa were like right away. They might have been the first two signings of that day. It was fast. Let's go into the defense, though. And I think let's just start the position that we need to start at, and that's the defensive line, because that's where they're going to have to be the most aggressive, and that's where there's actually options. Because to me, as you get further back in the defense, there's less and less real options for the Bengals to maybe make some signings for. So let's go edge first and talk about some potential guys. And I think you got to start at the top of an intriguing guy that I don't see being an option, but at least makes you go, And that's Khalil Mack. I don't see that being an option because he's 34. And the Bengals very rarely bring in a guy who's 34 years old. But, I mean, last year he was graded as the fifth best pass rusher by PFF. Year before, he was the sixth best pass rusher via PFF. But when you look at him, especially last year, his pass rush grade dipped through the last 6 weeks of the season. Now, there could be a ton of factors into that. It could be maybe he was playing with a nagging injury and just didn't tell anybody about it, or maybe that was the first sign that Khalil Mack is starting to take a dip. I know PFF projects him at $22 million a year. I don't see the Bengals paying a 34-year-old $22 million a year, but if it comes out tomorrow the Bengals sign Khalil Mack, I think fans would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it happens, but I mean, I think Khalil Mack is, you know, still playing at a pretty high level. Like you said, the grading's been elite for him. I mean, he's a future Hall of Fame defensive player, in my opinion. So it's, you got to get more youth on this team. Like, if you're going to go after Khalil Mack, why not just re-sign Trey Hendrickson, honestly, I think, in that case? I mean, I know that Khalil Mack's a little bit cheaper.
$10 to $15 million, we'll tell you why not.
Yeah, but you'd at least get a couple more years out of Hendrickson than you potentially get out of Mack. I'm not really for that, but, you know, I do like Khalil Mack, and I think he probably still has another year or two left in him.
Who's your first edge guy?
My first is, we'll go with Chase Young. Edge rusher.
I knew it was coming.
Most recently from the New Orleans Saints, former number two overall pick, selected after Joe Burrow, our savior of our franchise. And Chase Young, I think, I don't know if he's been disappointing, I guess, in the sense that maybe we thought he was going to be a generational talent like a Myles Garrett when he was selected number two overall in the 2020 draft. His career's kind of gone with the Jadeveon Clowney route, where, you know, we've seen some good solid play from him in his first 5 years. Now he's kind of out of his first team contract, his rookie contract, and now I'm wondering if we're just going to start seeing him sign 1 year deals with a different team each season, where he has really solid play. So I mean, this past season in New Orleans, we saw a dip in his production, but it wasn't terrible. But his 2023 numbers were really solid. We're looking at 74th percentile in pass rush grade, 78th in pass rush win rate. The run stoppage rate wasn't great at 19th percentile, but 55th in run defensive grade. So maybe he just didn't have enough opportunities to get run stops. Which is a specific PFF stat. But it doesn't seem like he was an absolute liability in run defense. I think that you're looking to get a little bit younger. Obviously, we just tried to do that through the draft with Miles Murphy, and that didn't end up working out. I want to get like our next Trey Hendrickson in this sense. I want to get a guy that's going to be around for 4 years, hopefully, at least 3 years, and give us, you know, pretty solid edge rusher play. I think Chase Young could potentially fill that void.
He ranked top 20 last year amongst pressures and pressure rate, too, amongst edge rushers. So that is at least another aspect of that could go positive towards him. I know Freddie asks here, what would Bosa be demanding? Bosa would probably be in the $20 million range. What did you think per year?
I would say so. Which
I don't imagine
necessarily pay that. No.
I don't imagine that the Bengals being interested in that. Josh Sweat is a guy that, you know, a lot of people are floating out there. I don't see that necessarily being a Bengals connection. He didn't grade particularly well. If you want to look into PFF grades, especially in the Super Bowl, you know, he had 3 sacks in the Super Bowl, but only graded like a 50, which is odd. Usually when you have a ton of production, usually your grade will bounce up a little bit. Here's the name.
Where are you seeing that he didn't grade well? Because
in the Super Bowl,
he didn't grade well. It's one game.
Yeah, well, I mean, he still was what, about 70 grade?
That's decent. I mean, he's on my short list here. Like, that's not shit. I mean, Sam, compared to the edge rusher play that we've seen the past year.
No, and I'm more just saying, when you're talking for a 70
graded edge rusher, that's
his price though is going to be what I think PFF projected him at 18 million.
I'd take that over Bosa's 20, 100%.
Well, like, I don't really want either.
I'd take that over Khalil Mack's 22 or whatever. Josh Sweat is on my short list as an edge rushing option. And yeah, Super Bowl may not have been that great of a performance from him, but you didn't.
But
really
he had
need
three
that
sacks.
He did have 3 sacks, and you also didn't really need that out of him because the rest of the defensive line was just absolutely eating. But yeah, I mean, I think Josh Sweat's been a really good player pretty much every season that he's played. It's crazy that he's just now turning 28 years old because it feels like he's been in the NFL for a while. He's going into his 8th season at the age of 28, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, he's been good and consistent in every season that he's played, consistently grading high. We haven't seen a down year from the guy yet. But in 2024, 66 pressures, 11 sacks, 9 QB hits, 58th percentile in pass rush grade, 78th in pass rush win rate, 70th in run defensive grade, and 83rd percentile in run stoppage rate. I mean, all those numbers are really solid. And if, you know, if we get news coming out tomorrow that the Bengals are signing Josh Sweat, I'm going to be pretty happy about it.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be mad. I'm just the price that he is. And I know that that's just edge rushers now today. I mean, edge rushers are like quarterbacks where that price tag is just going to keep on getting up and up and up, and you need them to win. Here's to me, I think I like to follow trends and so on. And when you see beat reporters start mentioning names very often, as far as predictions for free agency, at least raises a flag for me. You know, last year, the name that you saw a ton from beat reporters that just consistently did this was Geno Stone. We saw it with Hayden Hurst. And so we see some of these names continue to fly up, whereas maybe you don't necessarily see the perfect fit, but at least they consistently mention it. And I don't know, maybe that's just a coincidence, or maybe that is a, hey, we really like this guy kind of thing. And the name that I've been seeing a lot for edge rusher is Malcolm Kuntz from the Raiders. That's the one that I've been seeing a lot. Didn't play at all last year after an injury before the season. But I've been seeing that name a ton as far as maybe this is the guy that the Bengals go after for edge rusher.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be against that.
Little bit of a risk. You're coming off the injury, but injuries to me are not as big of a question mark as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. I wouldn't be too concerned about the injury. The only thing I'd be like a little bit hesitant about is it's going to be a different type of edge rusher that we are accustomed to seeing with Malcolm Kuntz, as opposed to what we've seen with Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson, is that Malcolm Kuntz is not a traditional 4-3 edge rusher. He's usually been playing in a 3-4 defense. He's a little bit smaller. He's only about 250 pounds, 6'2". But we have heard that Al Golden is looking for potentially adding a smaller edge rusher to his defensive unit, one that could drop out in the coverage, which Malcolm Kuntz has graded decently in.
He's got a name for that position that he has on his defense, and now I don't remember
what it is.
Is it
called Will? Is that a Will linebacker?
No, he's got like star? A... It's like he is calls it like a rocket or something. He's got a name for it. And I don't know, maybe Tommy or somebody knows it in the comments, or maybe I can Google it. Tommy, maybe stay tuned on that name. Maybe I have some notes on that. But go on Kuntz.
Yeah, so we've saw pretty good grading out of him in 2023. I mean, that was the first season that we saw him really getting thrusted into action. We didn't really see anything from 2022 and 2021. This would kind of be a Geno Stone-esque kind of pick, though, where we've had such a small sample size of success out of him.
Viper, that's what it is.
Viper position. Okay.
Yes. I knew it was something like, I don't even remember what I said, but okay. Yes.
But anyways, yeah, I mean, it would be like a Geno S type of signing where we have a small sample size of success that he's displayed on the field. And I'd be potentially okay with that, but like I'd prefer to have somebody that's a little more proven at this point.
I'm just telling you. Yeah, I just saw Falcons sign Jake Matthews to a 2-year $45 million extension as a left tackle. Well, they need help on that offensive line. There's no question about that. And the defensive line too. Maybe we can interest them in a Trey Hendrickson because they need some sack.
Didn't their beat writer just offer us a dog shit trade?
Yeah, both future. What is it? A future second and a future fifth. Which it was like this year second and this year fifth. That's actually a really good trade. It's just the future part that raises some flags to me. Tommy mentioned Derek Barnett. The one thing with Derek Barnett is, for one, he's not going to cost you a lot of money. And two, his snap counts have dropped over the years. You know, I was reading into PFF, and he's gotten a little bit better playing less snaps. Like last year, he had 226 rushing snaps, 5 sacks, and had 2 fumble recoveries for a touchdown. But the biggest thing with him is that he's at least a decent run defender.
Yeah.
Which is something that the Bengals need. To me, you know, Derek Barnett is almost as if I don't even know if Sam Hubbard's the right, like, you're trying to get that level of production out of him, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not going to cost a lot of money.
No, he's not going to cost a lot. He'd be a good rotational piece. I think he'd be a good guy to bring in if you're not bringing back Osai or Cam Sample. Like, we're going to need to sign more than one guy in that sense. Theoretically, I think they're bringing back one of those two. Osai or Sample is probably going to come back and be a
Sample
rotational
will be dirt
piece.
Cheap.
Oh, Sample will be a league minimum, I would say. Yes. What do you think? Like $1.5 million maybe a year?
If that, yeah, because
and hell, Osai's not valued that high either. I think I saw he was valued around 2.7. Actually, shit, I might have been wrong. Let's see. It might have been like 3.6.
But it is also, if Osai was going to come back, you would think they would have almost done that deal by now. I mean, Cam Sample, they could probably sign him in the middle of July. I can't imagine that he's going to have much, you know, interest in him coming off of an, I think it was an Achilles, wasn't it?
Yeah, Osai's spot rack value is around $2.5 million, which may be a little underinflated, maybe more like $3.5 million.
Yeah, and that for the Bengals, yeah, I'll sign that up. 2 for 7 or 2 for 8, you know, even if you want to raise that price a little bit, I think that would be a decent bring back. The other guy that I like, and I know I've mentioned this a lot, but as far as a cheaper option to add into that room is Aziz Ojulari. I'm just hoping that maybe a change of scenery could help him. Now, he's never been great, but I'm just saying he is not going to be expensive. Like, I know that PFF projects him for 1 for $5 million.
Yeah, I mean, if you're bringing him in, he's got to be...
a rotational guy, 100%.
He's got to be rotational, but he's going to be playing that. He's going to be a backup Viper in that sense. I mean, the dude's only 6'3", 240 pounds. Has consistently played as a 3-4 edge rusher. Sack numbers are good. So it's funny. He doesn't have the best pressure rate by any means, but he is capitalizing when he does get the pressures, you know, and those are turning into huge plays when he does get them. I wouldn't be a huge fan of the Ojulari signing, but you know, that's just me.
You got any other edge guys that you want to mention?
No.
Leading into the interior defensive line, Freddie asks the first question that we can discuss when talking about the interior, and that is, do you think they bring back DJ Hill? Do I think they bring back BJ Hill? I don't think they're going to bring back DJ or BJ Hill. I think the BJ Hill experiment, or not even experiment, the tenure is done.
Yeah, I think it's potentially done as well. He's going to be turning 30 years old pretty soon here. He is kind of cheap, I guess, compared to other defensive tackles out in the market right now. But I still think there's probably cheaper guys that I like a lot more than BJ Hill at this point that are younger. So, but yeah, I don't necessarily see BJ Hill coming back.
Interior defensive line, you start at the top of the Milton Williams, and he might be one of the crown jewels of all of free agency.
Yeah. So they're in quite a conundrum this year. Like, you drafted who you really wanted to be last year, your three tech of the future and Chris Jenkins. And you got, I think, and I might be saying this a little generously, a very lackluster season from Chris Jenkins. It was straight bad. It was a bad season. Only 11 pressures, 3 sacks, 2 QB hits, 16th percentile in pass rush grade, 8th percentile in pass rush win rate at 2.9%, which is abysmal. 30th percentile in run defensive grade, in 15th percentile in run stop grade, which was supposed to be his strength as a three-tech defensive tackle. So you're either signing Milton Williams and you're pretty much calling the Chris Jenkins pick a loss in that sense, or you're looking for another guy who's a little bit cheaper that still could replace Chris Jenkins if he doesn't take a massive step forward in 2025.
Now, the one thing with Milton Williams to that point, though, is that he's never played more than 50% of the snaps of a season.
Yeah.
Meaning he's always... Now, part of that is that the Eagles have just defensive lineman for days.
Yeah. And also we're also seeing a new era of defensive line play in football, where guys are constantly getting rotated in and out, trying to get them to be as fresh as they can. The numbers with Milton Williams, it's quite a contrast, I think, between how great of a pass rusher he was this year and how poor of a run defender he was this season. And that's the part of Milton Williams that scares me a little bit, is how bad the run defense grading was for him this year.
The worry that I have with Milton Williams, too, is how much of an impact is it when you have maybe the best nose tackle in the NFL? You play next to Jalen Carter, one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL. How much of an impact does that play? And listen, it doesn't matter who the Bengals throw out there next to him, it's not going to be Milton. It's not going to be Jalen Carter level, at the interior defensive line. How much of that made him look better?
Yeah.
And that's a question. It's a question that I think the Bengals are going to have to. But the thing is, it is his price is probably going to, I mean, he's going to hit his 22, 23, maybe even a little bit more. Because you're going to have a lot of teams that will be bidding for him. But if it comes out tomorrow, if we get an Alex, I don't imagine this happens, but if we get like an Alex Kappel where it happens, 3 minutes into free agency and it says the Bengals signed Milton Williams to a 3-year deal for $24 million a year or something, I'm going to be really happy.
Yeah. One guy I really like, and he is significantly cheaper than Milton Williams right now. SpotRack is valuing him at about $4.5 million a year, but I feel like that's probably light. I'd probably say about 6 to 7 potentially for him. And that's Levi and Onwuzurike, defensive tackle out of Detroit. Had his best season in 2024, definitely saw a huge increase in his snap count, but 47 pressures, 3 sacks, 14 QB hits. Those numbers aren't the best, but if you look at the pass rush grades, those were pretty good. 67th percentile in pass rush grade, 86th percentile in pass rush win rate, hovering around 12%, which is pretty good. And then the run defense, he's not a liability in that either. 87th percentile in run defensive grade amongst defensive tackles, 51st percentile in run stop rate at around 6.3%. If we're looking for cheap guys that could potentially fill that void in case of Chris Jenkins doesn't pan out, that's a guy that I'd be happy to bring onto the team.
He's another guy that fits into the beat writer mold too.
He does. Really? I haven't really looked at the beat writer stuff. So he's being looked at by
a lot of it. And again, I, you know, like Paul Daner and, you know, James Rapine, I've seen some of those guys do it. And again, this could just be happenstance, or it could be that they hear things, you know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he ranked top 15 amongst interior defensive linemen with a 12.5% pass rush win rate as well last year. Tommy brings up a guy too that I had listed on mine.
He's a nose tackle, right? Puna Ford.
Yeah, but interior, I'm throwing interior defensive linemen in there as well. He was a guy that I had listed on my, when we did our mock off season, for being not very expensive, and he had a great year last year with the Chargers.
Yeah, the only hang up I have on Puna Ford, and it might not be that big of a deal, because you're also, I think
he's not very expensive.
He's not very expensive. He is a little bit older. He is 29 years old. He'll be turning 30 in the middle of the 2025 season. But also, it's kind of like a Chris Jenkins situation, too, where McKinley Jackson, you saw flashes out of him, at least, in 2024. You definitely saw him playing a lot better down the stretch, and maybe thinking that he could be the future of the nose tackle position for the Bengals. I wouldn't hate that signing at all.
Both of these are very similar to where they were last year, where they had to make the decision of, do we rely on Dax Hill as a safety again? Or do we have to sign somebody that's going to be, or at least they hoped to be better than Dax Hill was at the safety position? And that's probably the question that they're having to ask themselves now is, can we rely on Chris Jenkins and McKinley Jackson, or do we need to find somebody better? Now, hopefully they don't make a signing that is the level of a Geno Stone where it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But, and that's the other aspect, or do they learn their lesson of, maybe we rely on our younger guys? Although moving Dax Hill to a different position clearly was the right decision and might end up making Dax Hill some money one day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you need to find a backup plan in case those guys don't end up panning out in 2025.
Or if they get hurt.
Or if they get hurt too. So another three tech that I liked, and we talked about him last year, but I wasn't too happy about him last year because he didn't play that well. But definitely saw a huge comeback in 2024 is T.R. Tart, defensive tackle, most recently from the Los Angeles Chargers. Saw career highs of defensive grade, run defensive grade, and pass rush grade. You know, and if we're looking at the percentiles of those measures, I mean, the lowest is 73rd percentile in run stoppage rate, still at 7.1%, but we're looking at 93rd percentile in pass rush grade amongst interior defensive linemen, 83rd in pass rush win rate at 11.4%, and 89th in run defensive grade.
The Bengals brought him in for a visit last year, you may remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing, like, listening to some of the beat writers in the podcast that we listened to, that apparently that did not go well.
Well.
And there was not, like, I don't know what. Like, it was one of those that you really wish you're, like, I think it was Paul Daner that I was listening to. I was like, come on, Paul, let it slip. Like, what was so bad? Like, because it just seemed like that was, like, oil and water with. Now, I don't know. Maybe that was oil and water with him and Lou Anarumo. So maybe that doesn't matter anymore. Because just the personalities didn't clash, or they clashed, didn't, you know, mesh. Or maybe that's something that we at least want to put a star by. But yeah, the production is there. That's just something that I know that they mentioned last year. And who knows, maybe they don't care as much anymore because they just need production from that defensive line.
Yeah, and maybe it was a coaching issue too. I mean, if Jesse Minter kind of came in I think that he might have brought a lot out of his defensive players as well. So that might have been a key factor in that. Another nose tackle option, this guy would be pretty cheap, I think. Definitely would be a rotational piece, but definitely has a good share of snaps. Is Bobby Brown III, defensive tackle out of Los Angeles. Former A&M guy, so both of your nose tackles would be from Texas A&M. Wasn't great in 2024, but his 2023 grading was pretty decent. 72 defensive grade, 69 run defense, nice. 65 pass rush grade. And, you know, consistently graded in good percentiles as well. You know, his pass rush win rate wasn't great, hovering around 7%, but his pass rush grade was good. Run defensive grade was really good in 2023, 88th percentile.
Yeah, you're going to see... I mean, if I'd set the over-under at free agent signings of 2.5 on the defensive line, it might be over.
Yeah.
I mean, that would probably be the Vegas line, wouldn't you think? It's 2.5 signings on the defensive line.
They got that because you can't just make all of your draft picks defensive linemen, right? You gotta spend in free agency here.
Any other interior defensive linemen, or you want to jump into some linebackers here?
Yeah, let's do linebackers.
I was going through the linebackers earlier, and I found one that I was like, okay, this one makes some sense. And then literally, I'm like typing up, doing all my nice research, and then I get the notification that he's re-signed with the Jets. And I was like, well, darn. Like, scrap it all out. Jamie and Sherwood. Yeah, okay. signs with the Jets. So just to give you the information, so it wasn't just like a waste of my complete time. You know, he graded a 74 in the Jets defense. Had a 10% missed tackle rate, though, so maybe that's a little bit of a red flag. 18 missed tackles, not going to cost a lot. 2 years, $7.75 million, but no. Oh, well. It was nice while it lasted, right?
Yeah. I'll give you a guy that they could luck into that could be still really, really, really good and not cost a lot of money just because of the injury he suffered in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. That's Dre Greenlaw, linebacker from the San Francisco 49ers, currently valued on SpotRac at $6.7 million a year. We've seen consistently really good seasons out of Dre Greenlaw. And obviously the Achilles injury, he came back just fine from that, honestly. I mean, his one game that he played before he suffered a calf injury in 2024 that effectively ended his season was a really good game against the Rams. So I would assume that the Achilles injury has probably solved itself for him, or it's definitely healed. Hopefully the calf injury isn't too much of a hang up from him that he suffered this past season. But I mean, if you can get him back to playing.
And he's not very old either.
No, he's not. He's only 27 years old. And that's a signing. That's a Trey Hendrickson-esque signing where you can get a guy for relatively cheap and still getting really good production out of them.
You want my wild card? And I know you're going to hate this.
It's a Devin Bush.
It is. And he's
on my list, and I don't hate it, by the way.
Really? Okay. See, I felt like you'd hate it. And here's the reason why I'm going to say Devin Bush. I like following trends for the Bengals. And one of the things that they like doing is getting the guys that they missed on in the draft. Because they were going to draft Devin Bush back in, it was 2019, wasn't it? And then they got Jonah Williams because some team, I don't know, irrelevant team, traded ahead of them because they knew that the Bengals were going to get Devin Bush. And the Bengals ended up with Jermaine Pratt, which honestly probably was a better pick anyways than what Devin Bush has produced. But as far as cost, like I'm looking here, you know, PFF projects him at 2 years, $3.5 million per year. He wasn't bad last year with the Browns either. Didn't play a ton of snaps.
Best season of his career.
Yeah. Only played 500 snaps, but graded 79.2, ninth graded linebacker at 84 potential. It's the wild card that would make me go, ooh, okay, I see you, Bengals.
Yeah. Also, he's got two AFC North teams on his resume. Yeah. He needs to knock out the gauntlet here.
He's trying to pull the what's his name? Defensive tackle who was on the team, Larry Ogunjobi. He's trying to pull the Larry Ogunjobi and just bounce around the AFC North, except Larry O needs to go to the Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Devin Bush had his best season in 2024. Like you said, he's relatively cheap compared to a lot of other linebackers in this linebacker free agency class. I wouldn't hate it, but if you do get Devin Bush, you need to be drafting a guy within the first four rounds, I would say. I mean, you're going to have to draft a guy regardless, potentially.
Presuming Jermaine Pratt being gone with that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Presuming Jermaine Pratt's not on the team anymore. You're looking at two starters if Al Golden's wanting to run a 4-3 as well, as opposed to the 4-2-5 that Lou was running.
Devin Bush was definitely named. The other name that I was getting really excited to about, you know, doing all my research, and I was like, oh, you know, Bengals, what do we need? We need another Cincinnati kid. We need a local guy. get Derek Barnes. No, he re-signed with the Lions. I was like, well, darn. Like, that would have been fun. Like, we got rid of one Cincinnati kid, and, you know, Derek Barnes from Covington, so just across the river, he's pretty much a Cincinnati kid. And it was fun while it lasted. So that was another one. Do you have any other linebackers that you want to mention?
No.
Corner.
And you're really going to have to do all the work on this one. I did not look at a corner.
Okay. I just have one. Okay. And honestly, I just have one secondary piece in general, because I don't think we see much here. I think this is going to be a draft where they're going to try and hit it in the draft, especially at corner, because you're going to put a lot of faith in your younger guys because, well, frankly, they're going to have to. They can't replace the entire defense. And that's where I think they're going to rely on their younger guys now. And you're going to probably see a draft pick, especially at safety. But the one guy that I had listed is a guy that they made an offer to last year that kind of surprised us. And he ended up going somewhere else. And I'm wondering, you know, Bengals, do they try and make this the second time as the charm? That's Christian Fulton. I don't necessarily want this. But again, you know, I'm just trying to find guys that maybe would interest the Bengals. We know that they made an offer last year on Christian Fulton, and he ended up signing with, was it the Commanders?
Chargers.
That's right. I think maybe it was Commanders, Chargers, Bengals that went in there, and he ended up picking the Chargers out of that grouping. He's okay. I think it's the best way to describe it, right?
Yeah.
He's very okay, is what I wrote down. He's not bad. He's not great, but if he's your cornerback four, you know, competing with Josh Newton in that, you're okay. Because I can't imagine he's going to cost much money.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, we did see the best season of his career with the Chargers. Again, that might just be a common theme with Jesse Minter taking over the defense over there. But yeah, I mean, the grading on him last year was good, but everything every year prior has been pretty hit or miss. And that's with Mike Vrabel being his coach. So, yeah, I mean, if he's cheap enough, that'd be fine. But also, I think the cornerback room is fairly has a good, decent amount of depth on it already. I mean, I think you have your three starting positions already kind of filled with Josh Newton being that cornerback four. So if you're looking for somebody to come in and compete and be cornerback five, maybe Christian Fulton could do that, or be cornerback four. Maybe he could do that.
Yeah, and it's just that was a guy that at least would make sense for that exact reason of the Bengals have wanted him before. Tommy says, I like Isaiah Rogers for depth at cornerback. May amount to more, could be a cheap option. Not sure if he was re-signed or not, though, with the Eagles.
He would be a really good punt returner, too, if they decided to.
You're speaking music to my ears there. You know how much I've wanted that. I've wanted somebody to, as Darren Simmons says, quote unquote, put the fear of God into the other team. We've not had that. Looking here, yeah, Isaiah Rogers is not signed back with the Eagles right now. And I mean, PFF projects him to be 1 year for $3 million. I'd say that that's probably in the range that the Bengals are wanting to pay for that cornerback four, cornerback five, however you might want to do it. But the last time we had a corner that was our primary punt returner, though, it didn't necessarily go well.
So you talking about the guy that cost us that Niners game?
Yep, old Darius. He's not in the league anymore, is he? There's no way. Or is he like in the UFL?
I don't know. Wasn't he with the?
He is in the UFL. He's with the Brahmas.
Okay.
Do you know what city the Brahmas are in?
That's San Antonio.
Look at you. You knowing your UFL teams. I don't know that I would have known that. He re-signed with them back in August. So look at him go. Freddie writes in and says, maybe I'm crazy, but I think we're going to miss Mike Hilton. I know he's aging, but I loved his knowledge of football and leadership. I'm okay with it. Just going to miss him. I agree. I don't disagree with anything he said there. Like we saw a little bit of a step back from Mike Hilton, especially in coverage. And I don't know that we can afford
you saw a step back in him from coverage, but you saw a huge step forward from him in run defense last year. By far his best graded run defensive grade. He might have been the best run defending corner last year. I don't have the rankings pulled up, but a 92 run defense grade from Mike Hilton. And I would assume he's probably priced himself out where the Bengals would not really want to bring him back. What is he currently valued at?
Yeah, I didn't even have that number just because I know that he had
$12.5 million a year. No, yeah, that's not happening. That is not happening.
No, and honestly, that would be a mistake for the Bengals to bring him back at that price for a 30-year-old corner. That
31-year-old corner.
But yeah, even more so that you're just not going to do it. Okay. Do you have any other? Did you throw in a safety? Did you want to talk about Javon Holland? Like, do you think that they'll shock everyone and drop in there?
Are you talking about for corner or safety?
I said secondary. Yeah, in general. Oh, like, secondary. Did you want to mention any safeties?
Yeah, I got three on my list here. Yeah, I got three on my list, and I think that they might want to start shelling out some money at the safety position. Honestly, like, we've seen really bad safety play, and I'm not talking about like a little, you know, 2-year deal with Geno Stone where you have an easy out with him after 1 year. So, I mean, I've got a few guys. I've got three guys on my list here, and they're going to be a little bit pricey, but, you know, I think it's going to be worth it. The first is Javon Holland, safety from the Miami Dolphins. Although 2024 was a little bit of a step back, you know, he still has graded really, really, really well throughout his career in Miami. He's never had a bad season in run defense. He's been consistently good at that. A couple of elite years in there. It took a step back in coverage this past year. How much of that had to do with Vic Fangio leaving and you didn't have as great of a defensive coach in the guy that they had? I can't remember, Anthony something. He was, I think he was with the Texans in prior years. But anyways, he's somebody I'd be interested in bringing in. He would cost about $15 million a year. But, I mean, I think I'm personally just tired of seeing us flail at getting a good safety on the team ever since Jesse Bates left.
Yeah, I mean, Holland's the guy there, and it's, you know, I hear, you know, Mo Egger, I think, was saying a lot about it, is that this is the offseason to right your wrongs.
Yes.
And your wrong was letting Jesse Bates walk. It was. You know, that's a decision that the Bengals will regret. At the time, I think I thought it was the right decision, but no, it wasn't. And hey, you got to learn from your mistakes. And the Bengals usually do learn from their mistakes. Maybe to a fault, they learn from their mistakes. You know, you think back to the Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins. They learned from that mistake of giving guys extensions once they hit 30. You know, they're very stubborn when it comes to that. So maybe you're right. And Holland being a guy of, okay, he's maybe not Jesse Bates, but he's still a lot better than what the Bengals have had in a while at the safety position.
Yeah. Another guy that I would be okay with us bringing in, he's valued at $8 million a year. That's Julian Blackman, safety from the Indianapolis Colts. Former third-round pick out of Utah. He's been his trajectory has been a little weird. He was always seen as more of an elite run defending safety in the first like 3 years of his career, and then that just started dropping off. But when that started dropping off, his coverage grade ended up getting a lot better, where he was consistently grading in the high 50s in coverage, and now, you know, the past 2 years he's been in the low 70s, and run defense he's been in the high 70s, and then recently he's been in the high 50s. But $8 million a year with a guy that's got, you know, a decent amount of experience. He's been a starter for, you know, 4 out of his 5 years with the Colts. He'd be a guy I'd be interested in bringing in.
Is your last guy DeMar Hamlin?
It is not DeMar Hamlin. Oh. It is a guy that I can't remember. He might have had some type of beef with T. Higgins or something with the Bengals.
Oh,
but former Texans and Chiefs safety Justin Reed.
He was the one that, yeah, he was talking a lot. Did he not just re-sign today? He might have just re-signed today.
Did he? I did not see that come through. I'm going to be really sad if he didn't.
It wouldn't be the first time that I've completely made something up. Yeah, I completely made that up.
Okay,
In the first time. Won't be the last time. There's only been 94 re-signings today that it was only time before. Let me at least put this into the old Twitter sphere just to make sure that I'm not... Yeah, no, it Nick Bolton re-signed with the Chiefs. That's
Nick Bolton. That's who it was.
Okay. Okay. That's who it was.
So yeah, yeah, Justin Reed. I mean, he had his best graded season in 2024 with the Chiefs. We've seen him have some really good years, both in coverage and in run defense. But yeah, he's a guy that, you know, if we're looking at righting the wrongs in the safety room, it's along the lines of a Javon Holland, where we'd be spending a little bit of money on him. He is a little bit older. He is 28 years old, but he is going on his third contract. So he's going to be valued at around $16 million a year. But I don't know. He's had a really good career, and he'd be a good guy to bring in.
Steve asks here, too. He asked it a few minutes ago. I wanted to come back to it. Do we even know what formation they're looking to run? 4-3, 4-2-5, 3-4? I think for the most part, you're looking more at a 4-3, but I know what Al Golden has always said is that he wants to be willing to morph his defense into fitting what he has.
Yes.
Which is what defensive coordinators should do, but most coordinators are very stubborn in their ways of if they're a 3-4 guy, they're going to run a 3-4.
Yeah. Or if they're going to run a 4-2-5, which Lou Anarumo did, they're going to run a 4-2-5.
Exactly. And I think Lou, I think Al Golden, from what it sounds like, will be more willing to, if he only, you know, if they don't draft any more linebackers or get any help at linebacker play, he's probably not going to have a linebacker on the field who doesn't need to be on the field, so he might go more of a 4-2-5.
Yeah.
So I hope that kind of asks the question there. Okay. So is that all your free agents there?
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow, it comes out. Do we get a free agent tomorrow?
Yeah.
How soon? So it opens at what, noon tomorrow? I think noon. What time? How about let's see. How about this? Let's even you want to put a dollar on it, or how about we're meeting up next weekend? We'll put our first drink on it. How about this?
Yeah.
Let's do you have a piece of paper in front of you?
No, but I
or can... here. Why don't you pull out the notes feature on your app, and let's both write down a time so we're not cheating, and one of us gets a time. We'll do Price is Right rules closest without going over. For whenever whether it's Adam Schefter, whether it's whoever it is, what time the first Bengals signing comes in. Okay? And we'll just show it up on the screen so we both have it. So let's see here. I'm gonna, and we'll say Eastern time. Okay. Eastern time. Okay, I've got mine. Do you have yours?
Yep.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. We'll show it on the screen.
Can you even see it?
You said, what did you, what does that say?
3:59 p.m.
Okay, I said 2:42. So, Price is Right. I'm getting kind of screwed here, but okay. Okay, so there we go. So, I have like an hour window that they're going to have to make a signing if I win this. Okay, so we both think something will happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
For this, for the Bengals. What position is it?
Guard.
I agree. I think you're going to see a guard being the first one, and then I think you're going to see defensive line right after that, and then they'll fill in the holes with the rest of them. Alrighty. Well, it's time to jump into some free agency here tomorrow. We'll try to keep you updated on our Facebook page as well when these news breaks, so make sure you give us a follow there, and we'll be back, I guess. I mean, I don't think we'll be back throughout this week unless it's just the biggest. Unless I think the only way we come in for like an emergency podcast this week is if like Trey Hendrickson gets traded or T. Higgins gets traded or something like that. And we're just going to have to talk. But I don't expect that to happen. But maybe being on the ready, we might. If it really goes crazy, that we might have to. But if not, we'll be back next Sunday to talk about all of the free agents the Bengals signed, because you know they're going to sign Milton Williams. They're going to sign the best guard. They're going to sign, you know, the top level free agents of every single position out there. That's what's going to happen. But we'll see back next week. Any bold predictions or parting thoughts here?
I don't know. Ride the wave of what's going to happen the next couple days.
Hopefully it's fun. I love this time of year.
I do. I love this time of year. Hopefully we start rebuilding this defense a little bit. Definitely needs to happen. So,
see, I'm lucky. Tomorrow I get a lighter day at work, whereas Tuesday I'm going to be really, really busy. So I'm hoping a lot of signings come tomorrow because I don't have a lot to go on, so I can be completely distracted, and that would be 100% okay. So that's what my fingers are crossed, because tomorrow or Tuesday will be very busy. We'll see you back next week. Remember to follow us, social media channels, favorite podcasting platform as well, and we'll see you next week, right?
Will do.
Hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.